who had come from Galilee with Jesus took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were puzzling over this, behold, two men in dazzling garments appeared to them. They were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. They said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and rise on the third day." And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and announced all these things to the 11 and to all the others. The women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. The others who accompanied them also told this to the apostles, but their story seemed like nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, bent down and saw the burial cloths alone. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When you read through the different accounts of that Easter morning, how the tomb is found empty, and you hear all these different reactions to it, whether it's disbelief, puzzlement, some of it fear, others still loss, but even every now and then, someone quickly believes. Someone quickly believes that something miraculous has happened. That person has already grasped that seed of faith that was planted in their hearts, and it now has recognized that this miraculous occurrence is a new beginning. It took a while for all of the disciples of Jesus to be able to grasp what happened that morning, to be able to grasp what this meant for the human family. But finally they did. And they began telling the story. And they probably as well were faced with people that said, "You guys are crazy. I don't believe a word you're saying." But little by little, as the story continued to be retold, more and more people believed that Jesus the Christ was raised from the dead, and salvation is offered through him. Last night at the Easter Vigil, we began our liturgy of the Word by hearing the account of creation. And of course, how the human family was created on that sixth day. And of course, we know the rest of the story, how Adam and Eve turned their back on their God, was tempted by the devil, and ended up committing that original sin. I want to focus on them for just a moment. Pope John Paul, in some of his writings, talked about that state that they were in soon after their creation. He called it the original innocence. Their relationship with God was so pure because there was no sin. Their relationship with God was familiar. He walked among them in the gardens of Eden. That's how close their relationship was. But as I said before, the devil tempted them, and they decided that they wanted even more than that close relationship with their Creator God. They wanted to be like God, and so they turned their back on him. And thus, they were barred from life with God. Now, for a moment, put yourself in their shoes. Their life is over on this earth. They cannot enjoy eternal life in heaven. But even worse, generation after generation of the human family join them in the depths of the underworld, in Sheol. They heard the stories of the pain and suffering that was occurring on this world. At some point, understanding that it was their fault that this all occurred. But only they knew what had been lost, because only they had had that relationship with God. I imagine the pain and suffering that they continued to endure had to do with seeing the human family barred from heaven. And yet, one day, all of a sudden, Jesus appears in that underworld, not to join them, but to reach out his hand to them and pull them out and return them to their rightful place in God's family. Think of what must have been going through Adam and Eve's mind. We don't deserve this. After all, we're the cause of all of this. We're the cause of all these people being here. And Jesus' response is, you are correct. You do not deserve this, but you are still loved. Loved by your heavenly Father, by me, his Son, and by the Holy Spirit. And because of that, we are drawing you out of this and not just returning you to relationship with God, but transforming it into eternal life in heaven. When we put that into perspective, that the cause of all of the sin and suffering in the world because of their decision was forgiven by Jesus, they were brought up to heaven. That gives us also great hope. Jesus did not die for the holy ones. Jesus did not die for the saints. He died for all of us sinners. Because we were created to be sons and daughters of the living God. That is our rightful place, as created in the image and likeness of God. And so Jesus is now restoring us to that relationship through his passion, death, and resurrection. What a joyous day it is to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Not just what it means for all of us gathered in this church, but what it means for our world. Yes, we can look at our world and we can catalog a whole litany of things that are wrong with it, evils that we spot. And yet, the one thing that has never been dimmed in all of human history is hope. The hope that God will win in the end over evil because he has already defeated Satan in his own game. Satan thought that he had won when the Son of God died on that cross. But unknown to him, that was actually the moment of victory. Victory over sin and death. This is why we gather with great joy in our hearts. We are so loved by God that he gave us his Son. We are so loved by Jesus that he gave up his life out of love for us. And we are so loved by the Holy Spirit that he took up residence in our hearts. My dear friends, today is truly a day of great joy. Of great joy because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross is now brought to fulfillment as he is raised from the dead. In an ancient homily written, it talks about Jesus entering into the depths of Sheol, holding the cross not as a condemnation, but as a sign of victory. And that's why we either wear crosses or put them in our homes and, of course, put them in our churches. Because as Christians, we look to the cross as victory. Victory over sin and death, redeeming us and bringing us to what we were created to be, sons and daughters of the living God. And so we rejoice today, but we also recommit ourselves to learn to living lives of gratitude. Gratitude for such a great gift as being offered the gift of eternal life. It is what makes us sons and daughters of the living God. It's what makes us followers of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are Christians because Jesus was raised from the dead. We are Christians because we have been baptized and offered the gift of eternal life. And we are Christians because Christ remains with us, most especially in this sacrament of the Eucharist. Jesus is truly risen today. And that is why we continue to sing Alleluia.